Jerry, this is John Rockwell. I show 1:30, since we do have a quorum. If we could call the meeting to order, and if you would call roll, please.
This is Sherry. Did someone sign on, please?
Yeah, this is Pete Menard from Soldotna.
Thank you, Chief. This is Sherry. Did someone sign on, please?
Hi, Sherry. It's Michael Hawkins from Motorola.
Thank you. Did someone else sign on, please?
Hi, Sherry. This is Sean Kostelnik.
Thank you. Did someone else sign on, please?
I just Dell again since I hit the wrong button earlier.
Okay. All right. For roll call on the telephone. Myself, Sherry Schaefer, Deputy Chief Doug Fournier, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. Mike Lawton, Ms. Erin Calwara, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Steve Noel, Mr. Dan Monteleone, Mr. Rick Roberts, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Scott Nelson, Chief Bob Ciccarella, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Mr. Rick Williams, Chief Pete Mulnarek, Mr. Mike Hawkins, Mr. John Kostelnik. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Jim Goodman.
Dave Jones.
Thank you, Dave. Present in Anchorage at this time, Mr. Del Smith, Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. Travis Connick. Anybody else present in Anchorage whose name I have not called?
Sherry, Nate Skinner is here.
Thank you, Nate.
And John with FBI.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Jim Goodman.
I got you, Jim. Thank you. And that should complete the roll call.
Sherry, thank you so very much. And at this point, we can move on to introductions of guests or new members. Del, do you have anybody to introduce at this time?
Yeah, but actually a guest. He's the soon-to-be operations manager working with me this month, Mr. Chris Letterman from Wolfsman. He's been working with me for the last couple of days and will continue for the month of June. And then on July 1st, he will be the operations manager bothering you guys like I have been for the past 13 years or so. So I look forward to working with him this month and passing on as much knowledge as I can. He said the signal is a little weak coming from me about knowledge, but we'll try.
Chris, would you like to introduce yourself further?
I can a little bit more color there. My name is Chris Letterman. I am working for Wasserman. I've been working for Wasserman since 2017. Prior to that, I've been at the state of Alaska, state government. And prior to that, worked for a couple of communications companies. And prior to that, I was in the Navy. So it kind of gives you a winding trail. But I'm excited to be here. The signal is definitely not weak. If anything, I feel like I'm getting blown over by a fire hose. But I've got all month to get as much as I can. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Chris, and welcome. Welcome aboard. There's no way that you're going to be able to fill Dell's shoes. You won't have his knowledge, you won't have his expertise, you won't have his charm, charisma, or his good looks, but we won't hold that against you.
Awesome.
All right. So moving on, let's move to the review and approval of the May meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody has had a chance to review the minutes. At this time, I open the floor for any updates, changes, questions, or comments. Hearing none, I ask for a motion to approve the May meeting minutes.
Nate Skinner.
Jim Goodman, thank you so very much. And Nate, I appreciate you to second that. Any questions or comments? And if not, I approve the May meeting minutes. Next agenda item is a review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, can you give any updates to that since the last meeting?
Yes, there are three updates. The first one is on the active operational issues on the microwave refresh by the state of Alaska. They are currently about 45% complete with the installation of the microwave pump. The next update is on operational issue 07, the replacement of the state of Alaska Quantars. The ALMR system, the state approved a supplemental budget fully funding the replacement of the Quantars, and I believe they are working with Motorola to get a schedule in place at this time. That item is now closed. The last one is operational issue 13. Virtual master site UPS site A failed. The week of 11 May, Fort Wainwright DPW replaced the batteries in UPS 1 bypass at the Virtual master site, which had been failing coming out of bypass mode. On Monday the 18th, the batteries were fully charged, and it was taken out of bypass mode without an incident. So they're just waiting to see if they experience any outages. I don't know if Mr. Williams has any sort of update on that. We are going to close that issue.
Yeah, I don't have anything additional to contribute on that.
That completes the update to the issues in this law.
Sherry, thank you so very much. I am hearing some echoes, so I don't know if someone has both their cell phone and their computer turned on. Thank you if you muted. Again, moving on to the next agenda item, it's the Operations Management Office Overview. Mr. Dell Smith, may I ask you to give us an update?
You may. This would be my swan song one. Yes. And Sherry, by the way, Mr. Storm will join us during all of that, so you can add him as an attendee today, please.
Thank you.
The OMO transition, we've already talked about Chris, and he's read a few words. The way this is structured, after July 1st, I will still be available to Wolfsman should they need some background advice, consulting, whatever you want to call it, as long as they need me to fill in anything that comes up that they need to talk to me about. I'm not going anywhere. Probably wasn't going anywhere before COVID-19, but for damn sure not going anywhere now. So, System Security RMF, Mr. David Reed. David, I know you're on the phone, so I would defer to any quick update you might have on that.
We're still waiting for the DAO to get his account recreated through Space Command right now. They're running behind due to COVID-19, just like everybody else is. Once that's done, we'll move forward with that. Beyond that, we are rolling back into making sure systems are rebooted in time and patches are getting pushed to them, as well as security scanning the network to make sure that all of the controls are actually implemented correctly.
Okay, thank you. Zone control to rollover, the quarterly one that was done on May 6th and 7th, Wednesday and Thursday. There were no issues with the rollovers. I think the one on Thursday, we had to wait because, believe it or not, operational activities delayed us doing a rollover. That's why we called the dispatch centers to check to make sure, and the KPD was involved in something with Zone 4 for quite a while, so we were unable to do that one. And anyway, at the same time, we were doing, right after that, OIT folks were doing some 7705 updates, and we ran out of time, got close to 6 o'clock, and there were some other activities going on, and we didn't want to do anything to interrupt that. So we delayed the 7705, some of the stuff they had to do, until Sunday morning, when Travis and I got to come in again at 5 o'clock. Sunday morning, and took care of several things. As Sherry said, she gave a percentage of the completion on that project, but I think that particular week were some of the major things that would be interrupted by what they were doing, the dispatch centers, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why we were working with Brian to get that accomplished, but it is well underway, as I understand it. IC zone update, right before, about an hour or two before the meeting, Sherry sent out the IC zone structure as we now anticipate that it would look. On the left, you guys have seen some of this before, a current interior region B IOP, valley region B IOP, central IOP 700, 800, and then southeast region A IOP. The idea being, obviously, as we've discussed before, sort of a transitional code plug here, so you can, if you haven't wanted to move over to the new, you could still use the older ones. But on the right is the new, the North Interop, Central Interop 700, 800. That's new since the last time we saw this. We were able to get the information from the AWARN folks and how they would like it structured. And then the Southeast Interop. We had a discussion about dispatch centers the last time we met, I believe, and what they would be called. Previously in the current IC zone, it was just a hail channel. We had some discussions that I think relate to you with some dispatch folks and operational folks and a user council or two at the last meeting, as I recall. So the description would be north to dispatch hail / all call. In our effort to try to satisfy everybody, we probably wandered way out of whack, but that's what we decided to call it in this particular version. And the display on the thing would be north call, central call for the 700 folks, and then southeast call on the radios. I have not listed any dispatch centers at this time in the CONOP, which this would go into under normal circumstances. Because the dispatch situation seems to be in a state of flux about which dispatchers are actually going to be around or not around. So I thought if we adopt this as we should and move ahead so we could finish up the CONOP and get it to the user council for their review, that we could identify the dispatch centers, just about all of them that currently exist. It said, you know, if this ends up being on your console, which it well should if your ability to talk to people, then if you're hailed and it's not you, you can certainly pass it on to the dispatch center that should have it geographically. I'm not sure there is another solution that I'm capable of providing at this point in time, because I just don't know which dispatch center will be which and where. So I suppose we can discuss that further at some point, but that's what the plan is right now, is to finish up the CONOP with this in it and then follow up with designating some dispatch centers, all of them, as I just said, as to monitor this when they get it on their consoles. DOD infrastructure POCs, I contacted the DOD POCs that I have in the normal course of the operations management office needing to talk to, and the POCs at the help desk would normally get a hold of regarding the radio issues. I contacted them and talked to them about our need for the help desk to have a 24-hour access to somebody to say, we've got a problem at a DOD site. We've determined that it is not RF related, therefore it is not ALMR IOMS system management office response to get fixed. We need somebody to start the process to get that fixed. With the state site, we call and wake up Mr. Stormwell or the guy on call and get that process started. So we were trying to establish something and have a memo that I sent to Travis, which passed on to the help desk, identifying the persons that I've talked to with a number that they could be contacted with 24 hours a day. In the case of Eielson, Chris Martin et al., that is that central communications thing. I don't think I'm saying it right, but it's a 24-hour number which they could reach out and get a hold of folks. And for Red Flag, Mr. John Parrish has provided me with his home phone or cell phone and his work phone. And Rick, I tried to get a hold of other people besides you at USARAC. I have not received any response back from Captain Roberts nor from the Lieutenant Colonel. So I have listed you as the POC for USARAC issues at this point in time on that memo.
Well, I'm available 9 to 5 on holiday weekdays, so I hope that's what you're looking for. Tell you what, they're doing a change of command right now between Captain Roberts and an incoming officer. When the incoming officer gets on board, then we'll make sure that he understands those duties.
Yeah, so if you could pass that on, assuming that may occur after I'm gone, to Chris and to make sure that Travis gets it, because it'll go to the help desk. That's the people who actually probably need it, or the on-call tech gets the notification there's a problem at the site. So, yeah, I mean, if we have an issue on a Friday night, it's a public safety communication system. Does not warrant waiting until Monday morning to try to figure out what it is, in my humble opinion. So that's why we're seeking 24-hour ability to notify somebody. So.
Well, you can notify. I can't do anything about it. I don't have access. I don't control access to those sites. This is an offline conversation that apparently we need to have.
Sure. No, that's fine. I'm just saying that since we had our conversation, you recommended Captain Roberts, I've tried to get a hold of him, cell phone, phone number and emails, and no response. So I wanted to finish that memo up before I leave, and that's what I've done. So thank you. Annual inventory confirmations. I'm not sure it's a record, but we completed those on May 18th. Sherry started sending them out end of January. I asked her about in the past, we've had some with as far as into early July, so I think we did pretty well this year getting the responsible people to get back to us with those. We've been doing it for a while, so it's sort of anticipated every year that they got to do this. So that's done and put to bed for another year. The membership agreements are underway. The distribution was completed on May 19th, except for DOD agencies, which Sherry has requested the information from Mr. Woodall regarding how the services costs would be apportioned, so we can put that in their user agreements. And we have 59 of the 132 signed and returned at this point in time. So we're about halfway there. Today's June 3rd. They need to be done and completed by June 30th. The next item is a Zone 4 outage, which Travis knows a lot more than I know about it, so I will defer to him right now.
All right, thanks, Dale. What occurred was they were adding the new Cottonwood site for out in the valley to Zone 4 at Awarn. Motorola was working with the A1 folks over there, and when you add a new site, you have to put in a new configuration into the firewall. And when they did that, they did the first firewall with no problem. When they pushed the second config into the second firewall, it put it into basically a constant loop, which knocked down zone 4, and from troubleshooting it and all that, all of zone 4 was down for about an hour and 13 minutes. They were able to bypass the firewall that didn't take the config, and got everything back up. So currently, their Motorola is working on getting a new config and seeing what's going on. So it is up, it's operational, it is on the firewall, it's secured. It's just the other redundant firewall that's down right now until it can get that fixed. But then also the new site out at Cottonwood for Zone 4 is up and operational. They turned it on yesterday morning, and they're doing some testing with that currently.
Okay. This is Del again. I talked to Jason Beach on a actually, both Chris and I let him in one order yesterday to introduce him around, and we talked to Jason. And this outage in Zone 4 occurred somewhere around midday on a Thursday, usually a pretty busy time, I would suspect, for the Anchorage Police and Anchorage Fire. And when I spoke to Jason, he said, well, yeah, I mean, it's not an ideal situation, but they have in place backup alternatives to that, and they were able to continue their business. So I've said this before at a number of user council meetings. This is a very reliable system, and most of the time will be available to you, but there may be intervening events, hopefully not like this very often, but intervening events that knock out our capability to talk on ALMR fully as we can at this time. You need to have a backup solution, doomsday radio, whatever you want to call them, just in case. And APD and fire through A. Warren and Jason Beach had that, so they did not hang me or Travis in effigy because the system went off or knocked them down for an hour and 15 minutes in the middle of the day. Had they not done that, we might not be talking to you right now. I don't know. Anyway, that's what happened, and they're going to rectify that. As he said, it is up and it is running, and there are two paths, and one path is certainly now they'll fix the other one, and everything will be rosy-cozy. May document reviews. Technology Policy Procedure 300-2, Standard Channel Naming Conventions Policy and Procedure 400-10, System Key Usage Policy and Procedure 416 were reviewed in May and approved by the Operations Management Office for this month and will be reviewed again next year. The May system metrics reflect the increase in activity of people coming out of the caves and starting to talk more. We're back closer to what we see normally each month. There's 1,015,651 group calls and 1,908,409 push to talks and 329 busies. The month of April was way down in the way of activity on the system, but clearly we're back up, not to all of the reasons for COVID-19, probably the activity increase, but Nate's folks are getting pretty busy with fires again and other activity that spools up this time of the year, so it's pretty natural to see the increase. It was not natural to see that kind of lack of activity in April, but we're back on track. The draft FY22 almost small budget is currently in preparation. We're waiting some final figures from Motorola regarding SUA infrastructure replacement kinds of costs. And our plan is to get that document to the user council members prior to the July 1st meeting, so you'll have a chance to look it over. And we would be looking for a vote on that on July 1st, hopefully to move it forward to the executive council for their meeting on, I think it's July 15th. So as soon as we get that information, which is basically addendum A, to the budget every year, the multicolored document that's accompanied this, if you've reviewed it in the past, which shows the cost apportionments for MOA, SOA, and DOD, and then some capital costs if there are going to be any. Obviously, one of the major changes this year is that $24 million that was included in capital requests basically for the state of Alaska has been satisfied by the supplemental that was mentioned. So that is all I have right at the moment, John, unless somebody's got some questions about any of that.
Dale, yeah, thank you so very much. I open the floor for questions at this time. Hearing none, let's move on to the next agenda item. The System Management Office. Travis, anything else besides the Zone 4 outage that you would like to speak to?
Thanks, John. The only thing else I have to add is we're just finishing up the annual maintenance at all the remote sites for this contract year. It ends at the end of June. So I'll be heading down to Southeast, Sitka, Skagway, in the Juneau area. I'm planning on meeting with the fire chief down in Sitka and then some folks in Juneau just to talk about ELMR, any questions they might have on the system. And I'm also heading to Fairbanks probably the third week of June. So anybody in the Fairbanks area, just reach out if you guys want to discuss anything or have any issues or have any questions about ELMR. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Travis. Any questions for Travis or the System Management Office?
Yeah, Travis, this is Rick. I might take you up on that if you're interested in talking to fire stations at Fort Greely or Fort Wainwright.
Sounds great. Yeah, I'll get with you here this next week and we can set up some days and times.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Travis? Hearing none, let's move to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Let's start with you, Scott.
Just the $24 million upgrade is still kind of working through some end-of-year approval processes. I don't foresee any major problems with it other than it's a brand-new spend approval process, and it will be one of the first things through it, I think, from DOA side. So we're trying to figure out how that's going to work. As part of that end-of-year process, it's kind of stopped us from doing any work right now because we're not allowed to spend any amount of money without commissioners and OMB approval. So if you're a state agency and you have an RSA with us, we're unfortunately unable to charge against that RSA to do any work at the moment. So we are working with DOA to try to get some blanket waivers for that type of work. And since we're moving to DMVA effective 1 July, we will be redoing whatever memos we get through DOA side with DMVA, so we hopefully don't have to go through the same process again. For the DOA agencies, I think you've been getting contacted by the DOA accounting folks. I can say this almost with certainty because I think there's only been a little bit of payments from the DOD for an OMO for one of the OMO contracts, but I do not think a single penny has been received for the Motorola IOMS contract at this point. And, you know, we're in the last month of the contract year, so we've gone through this several times in the past. Hopefully, under DMVA and hopefully they've just got a little better and tighter processes for working with the federal government on these things. So I think we're going to see what we can do different in the beginning of the year to try to get the invoices out, try to collect the entire amount owed up front and put it into the Federal Reserve pot of money and then pay out the invoices monthly as they are due. So we don't have to keep doing this every year where the state is covering the bills, hoping to get paid back. Because even if they do get paid back after the fiscal year, that causes some problems with the money's not available anymore for us to use. And just as a kind of a general comment, because I've heard a few issues popped up with some of the non-DOD federal agencies for your members.
Sorry to interrupt, Bob. We got a fire alarm going off. We got a bail. So DMVA is going to have to leave. Talk to you later.
Okay. The non-DOD federal agencies get invoiced based on their signing of the membership agreement. We've seen a couple instances where there was some, I think, difficulties working the payments of that. And I'm not going to begin to try to understand all of the different federal agencies' procurement processes, but I think the issue might have been that the membership agreement wasn't a formal procurement document, therefore they were having some troubles making the payments or figuring out how to make the payment based on that. Just a heads up for those of you that are maybe in that situation that we're going to send an invoice out based on that membership agreement that's signed, but there might need to be something more official done from your agency to submit a purchase order to the state or some other way to properly account for that through the procurement process. And I think that's all I have.
Scott, thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Scott Stormo or State of Alaska? Hearing none, let's move on to DOD. Mr. Tim Woodall, not sure if I heard you join or not. Are you online? Continuing with the DOD then, can I get someone to give us any updates, if they have any, from the DOD office? Hearing silence, we can move on to new business. At this time, I open the floor for any new business.
Hey, this is Brad Johnson. I have a comment.
Say Bruce and Brad. Brad, why don't you go first?
Okay, thanks. I heard from a friend that this was Del Smith's last meeting, and I just wanted to quickly take an opportunity to call in and thank him for his extended service with ALMR. As some of you know, I was a member of the user council since its inception and up until my retirement in 2018, in a chair for a while. But anyway, as everybody I think on this call and at this meeting knows, ALMR would not be the success that it is without Dell. He's become the face and the name of ALMR since he came on board, and I can't really say enough for the assistance that he gave me and to the user council as a whole in the development of this system from where it started to where it is today. And so I'm glad I had an opportunity to do this. I just wanted to take a moment to thank Dell for all of his hard work and dedicated service, and let him know that it's much appreciated by all of us that used the system and were dedicated to its success. So thank you, Dell.
Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was telling somebody, we've been calling folks, Chris and I, talking to some of the agencies, and I was telling them, I was calling people, telling them I'm leaving, and they said, good. But that wasn't true. I don't think it was true anyway. But by the same token, not a lot of them begged me to stay either. But they had. But thank you very much, Brad. It was guys like you that I got to work with in the organizations and the agencies that make up ALMR that made me pleased to be involved with it.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's sorry to see you go.
And Bruce, you are next.
Hey, John, thank you. And Brad, thank you for taking the time there. I've actually gotten to know Dell a little bit longer than Brad has. Back when I was a midshift cop, there was this legendary captain named Captain Gucci, who was the flashiest dresser at the Anchorage Police Department, but we never actually saw him when we were at midshift. But later on, he got promoted to deputy chief, and he'd come down and spread a few words of good cheer and encouragement and the time of sadness. I remember vividly when he came down after Gary Hansen was murdered to kind of offer some condolence and sympathize with the guys who were having to show up to work the next shift. So, Dell was smart enough to walk away from the deputy chief job when we got probably the most anti-public safety mayor in the history of anti-public safety mayors, and went on to greater and better things. His career as the deputy public safety commissioner and then the actual public safety commissioner before he joined the LMR team. And I have truly enjoyed the chance to work with you over the years, Dell. And I know that you're just moving on to your next adventure. And I was hoping that possibly John Rockwell might be interested in nominating you to be part of a committee to work on the next Alaska State Communications Interoperability Plan update. We figured out how to do it totally by webinar now, so we wouldn't actually have to go anywhere, but you could still use your wisdom and your knowledge and your expertise, and it is much appreciated. And I believe Steve Noel may be on this call, too, and have a couple of things to say.
Yeah, actually, I am. Yeah. Hey, Dell, I just wanted to echo what Bruce said. I mean, it's been a pleasure working with you. And I'll miss, maybe you'll still go, but I miss seeing you at IWCE, and I always enjoyed those P25 speaking engagements there and at APCO, and then getting a chance to work with you on FirstNet a little bit and then in this space. So it's been a pleasure. I always appreciate your professionalism and ability to get things done. You know, the ALMR group from the users group to the executive council has really been a huge benchmark as far as governance. And I know you're focused on the LMR, but what you've been able to bring to the table with key executives and just the accomplishments is, you know, nothing short of incredible, really. So I really appreciate it. I learned a lot, and always enjoyed getting the chance to link up, and maybe we'll do that here in the future if you're still around. So, hey, thanks for all you've done, and also appreciated getting to know you a little bit. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those comments, and I was supposed to be a speaker at IWCE in April when it got canceled. I've committed to Steve Nichols that if it in fact happens in August, I'll still be on that panel. So if it does, the last week of August, I will be at IWCE. So thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate it, Steve.
Hey, Dell, this is Brad. If you if your path ever takes you down through southern Idaho like Bruce's has already, you make sure that you stop in and say hello.
Yes, I will. I see you and your wife are taking over the state, so I should have some stroke.
Oh, we're working on it. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I talked to Christy yesterday in Fairbanks. Is she coming down here for something?
They've already moved. In fact, they're building a house down here, she and Peyton, and they'll be here in a couple of days. She's going to continue to commute and work remotely through the rest of the year, but that's probably about it.
Okay, thank you.
And Del, this is John. As a charter member of the Del Smith Fan Club, I mirror everything that everybody said. And I would like to keep the floor open for comments. Any other comments at this time?
Now, this is Henry Cole. I just want to say, Del, you've been very educational listening to you in my 18 months or so on the user council, and by what everyone else has said, for a lot longer than that. So just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Henry. I appreciate your participation from DOT. Thank you very much. So anybody else doesn't feel like commenting necessarily, gift cards are accepted.
I want to know who's going to drop popcorn balls off at headquarters after you leave.
That's right. I will.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, that's become a thing now.
I know. Yeah, I thought I was a law enforcement luminary, but the only thing I remembered for in APD and DPS was popcorn balls.
We'll set up a socially distanced going away for them, have them stand by the side of the road and wave a little bit as everybody drives by.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving to the next item.
Don, I have one question to tell again. Yeah, it's not a question per se, but in discussing a number of things that we need to be talking about and considering in the operations management office, Chris and I were discussing the potential for the SIGBI. Do you have anything more current than what we've talked about in the past, and of which I've already told it?
I do. It's hot off the press, and I don't have direction yet, so I'm a little hesitant. But if you follow some of the ADN articles regarding the dispatch center and the questions that the governor's office has been asking, the governor has formed a new, I don't want to call it a SIGBI, but originally that's what he was calling it. The governor has formed a new committee, and I'm trying to bring it up now.
Yeah, I looked at the, I saw the administrative order on KTVA a little while ago. As a matter of fact, the 911 and dispatch committee, basically is what he called it in that news release.
Right. So the governor has formed a new, through an AO, was it 317, this new committee that replaces the existing SIGBI. That new committee is chartered by the 30th or the 1st of September to respond to issues regarding statewide 911 and consolidation of DPS dispatch centers. That committee will also look at the formation of a future committee, whether it's a SIGBI, whether it's chartered in statute, or whether it's another AO. I have a conversation this afternoon at 3 o'clock with some of the directors of DPS that might have additional information. So it's a little premature for me to say what the total direction is, but I appreciate you bringing it up at this point, Del.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments, any other new business? If not, let me just announce the next meetings. The next meetings are scheduled for July 1st and August 5th. Del mentioned that the July 1st meeting will be going over the budget to prepare for the executive council meeting on the 16th of July. Hearing no other comments or questions, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
And or second.
Sherry, did you get that?
Okay. No, I did not. Who made the motion?
Doug Fournier, Fairbanks.
Thank you. And who seconded it?
Dave Jones.
Thank you.
Gary, did you get what you needed? Sherry, did you get what you needed for the minutes approval? First and second?
I did, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, we are adjourned now. Thank you very much. And again, Del, thank you for your wonderful service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.